no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. Got a couple of adventure stories for you this week, beginning with High Adventure, an episode from that series from June 4th, 1950, titled Deep Water. After that, it's I Love Adventure and The Girl on the Street, their episode from June 20th, 1948.
His hand closed on my airline as I fought for breath inside my diving helmet. The suit pressed tight against me as I used up what little air was left. I had to break his grasp. I had to if I was going to live.
This is Deep Water, a sea story of the one thrilling moment in a man's life that can only be called High Adventure. High Adventure, the top of the world in action drama for men, brought to you by Scholten, makers of Old Spice aftershave lotion, for that top of the world feeling after every shave. Cool, clean, and refreshing as the ocean. That may sound a little bit poetic, but I'd be willing to bet that's the way you'll feel about it when you use Old Spice aftershave lotion. You'll find there's a wake-up freshness about Old Spice lotion that adds real pleasure to your morning shave. And you'll agree with me that Old Spice lotion is the perfect finish for a shave. Uncomfortable razor burn vanishes instantly, and your face feels cool and smooth. Old Spice lotion has a clean, fresh, masculine scent that men prefer, and the handsome ship-decorated bottles are a pleasure for a man to see and to use. No wonder more men buy Old Spice than any other aftershave lotion at a dollar. Try Old Spice aftershave lotion when you shave tomorrow morning, and you'll use it every time you shave. Now to the High Adventure story, Deep Water, written and directed by Robert Monroe and told by the man who lived it, Mark Johnson.
I guess Liz and I were meant for each other, corny as it sounds. I never thought she'd wait for me with the war and everything, but she did. That's the kind of gal she is. Not that I didn't expect to come back. Navy salvage diver isn't exposed to terrific danger, at least not from bullets anyway. It was just that there were so many other guys that wanted her. But when I stepped off the train in Grand Central Station, there she was, and it was just like I'd never been away. We were married inside of a week, and the world looked like one big, beautiful oyster. The war was over, we were in love, and there didn't seem to be anything that could stop us. I'd done some diving before the war, and Liz had taken a crack at it, too. We'd always talked about hunting for sunken treasure in the Caribbean or someplace, and, well, we just started making plans right away. We bought a surplus PT boat, ripped out the heavy engines, and stuck in a diesel so the two of us could handle it. We got a hold of a couple of surplus diving rigs, stocked up, and took off. First month didn't net us anything, but we were having fun, so what was the difference? We've been out for a week, and we're heading back into Puerto Plata for supplies.
Take it easy.
What?
Take it easy.
Well, that's a fine way for a sailor to talk. It's supposed to say slack off.
What?
Nothing.
Well, take it easy and watch what you're doing.
What are you going to do, rewrite the book?
I can't hear you.
All right. Hang on. All right, jump up and get the forward line. How you doing?
Got it.
All right, I'll get the aft line.
Okay. Need any help?
No, I got it.
Now, what were you saying?
I said you're the best-looking sailor in the whole Navy.
Bet you didn't.
Honest.
Bet you were being critical again.
No, I wasn't.
What'd I say wrong?
Nothing.
Come on, what'd I say?
Nothing, honey.
All right, smarty, just for that, I won't cook your dinner for you.
In the Navy, it's chow.
Dinner, chow. What's the difference? You gotta take me out.
I was going to anyway.
Oh, tired of my cooking already, huh?
Get down there and put on your face.
I'm going just like this.
Oh, that's what I love about you. You're so formal.
Come on, I'm starved. Where to?
Joe's?
Perfect.
Hey, honey, look at that cruiser.
Where?
Next wharf. Isn't she a beauty?
Yeah, what is it?
Chris Craft, I think.
That's something.
Come on, score and see it, huh?
Over my hungry stomach.
Oh, now,
we'll come back after we eat.
Hey, women.
Stop looking like an abused setter. I'm hungry.
All right. Feel okay?
Mm-hmm.
Happy?
Mm-hmm. You?
Couldn't be more. Come on.
Hey, Joe. We're back.
Senor Johnson, please, my name is Jose.
That's what I said, Joe.
No, Jose.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Stop it, Mark.
Well, that's what...
Stop it.
Thank you, senor. Now dinner, see?
Ciao.
What's this?
Dinner.
Oh, see. The table in the window?
Sure, it's fine.
And now, what do you have?
I want a huge lobster and any vegetables you've got.
Senor?
The same.
Two lobster and...
The way she eats, you'd never think she blew up a couple of days ago, would you, Jose?
What is this, blew up?
Oh, it's nothing, Jose. I was down below, my exhaust valve stuck, and my suit blew up just like a balloon. I popped up the surface. Now you go get our dinner, huh?
Blew up, Joe.
Oh, I love that old guy.
You shouldn't tease him.
Why? He doesn't mind.
I know,
hey,
but you...
excuse me, but did I hear someone say something about blowing up?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you're Mark Johnson, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm Harry Paulson.
How do you do? This is my wife.
Hello.
Well, Mrs. Johnson, I've been waiting for you.
Oh?
Yeah, you see, when I heard you were doing some diving, well, I used to dive myself.
Oh, well, pull up a chair.
Thank you. Hey, I noticed you stopped and looked at my boat on the way up.
That Chris Craft yours?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, hey, that's some sled.
Thank you.
What'll she do?
Well, I never really opened her up, but they claim she's good for 38.
Wow.
Like to look it over after dinner?
Oh, and how? Okay, honey?
Now, aren't you glad you waited?
Yeah.
Who blew up?
Oh, that was nothing. I was just kidding, Liz.
Wasn't a joke to me.
Well, what happened?
Well, her exhaust valve jammed, and before she could do anything, she blew topside.
Well, how deep?
It was only about 10 fathoms.
I've seen divers get the bends in 10 feet of water, much less 60 or 70.
Well, Liz here's tough. I put her right down again and decompressed her slowly.
It was nothing.
Yeah, you were lucky, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, I don't know.
What are you diving for?
Anything we find.
Jose said you were working Silver Shoals.
He did?
The plate fleet. That's what everyone's after.
Yeah, I guess so.
How much is supposed to be down there?
19 million, they say.
Oh, I made a try for it myself once.
Well, I wonder what's keeping Joe with the food.
Don't be impatient. It takes time to broil a lobster.
Yeah.
I'd like to join up with you, Johnson.
Oh, well, yeah, we really don't.
I know these waters pretty well. I think I might be useful.
Oh, but isn't that...
Besides, I'm an experienced diver.
Yeah, I know, but...
What do you say?
Well, you see, this is sort of a honeymoon for us.
Oh, I understand.
Why not, Mark?
Huh?
I mean it. Mr. Paulson
Look, call me Harry, huh?
He could help a lot.
How?
Frightens me a little when you're down there, if anything should happen to you. Well, I just don't know enough about it yet.
Well, Liz, this is our...
I know, but we're an old married couple now. I'd be a lot happier.
You mean that?
Yes, Mark.
Oh, let's forget the whole thing, huh? I'm sorry I brought it up.
No. It's all right with Liz, it's all right with me.
Well, I feel funny.
No need to. It's all set.
Sure.
Okay, Liz?
Sure, honey.
I better get my gear together. When are we shoving off?
First thing in the morning, as soon as we're stocked.
I'll be ready. But don't forget to stop over and see the boat after dinner.
Kind of tired. Think I'll go right to bed.
Well, look, maybe...
Mark will be over, though.
You better count me out, too, Paulson.
Okay. I'll see you in the morning.
Yeah. Sure. Liz and I didn't talk much that night when we got back to the boat, but after we turned out the light, I lay there thinking, and I decided I'd been pretty much of a horse's neck to act the way I did. Maybe Liz was right. After all, she was a woman, and I guess they worry about things that never enter a man's head. I made up my mind I was going to apologize first thing in the morning. When I woke up, I looked at my watch and realized I'd overslept an hour. I looked over at Liz's bunk, but it was empty. She wasn't anywhere in the boat either. Funny, she'd never done that before. I ducked into the galley and got the coffee going. One... Three. Now a match. Yeah. Oh, blasted little...
Can you handle all that?
Sure. Yeah, it's got it.
Pile some more on me, huh?
Let's start.
All right. Come on.
Okay, you sit.
And I do. Watch your step now.
Oh, I'm an old man.
I'll help you.
Thanks.
Anytime.
You want some coffee?
Yeah.
Come on. Morning, sleepyhead. So you finally got up, huh?
Morning, Mark. Hello.
Don't I get kissed?
Coffee'll be ready in a minute.
There's always an old grouch in the morning.
Where'll I put these things?
Oh, I'm sorry. On the bench over there.
Phew. They were getting heavy.
How's the coffee coming?
I'll take care of it.
Don't be so gloomy.
What a day, Liz.
Honey, if you think Jose is funny at night, you ought to see him in the morning. You two get on beautifully. You could grumble away at each other to your heart's content.
He wouldn't sell us everything we wanted. He
said it wasn't fit food for the sea.
Joe's only been open for 15 minutes.
Huh?
I've been up for a half an hour.
It's taking that coffee so long.
It's ready.
Good. I think we got everything. We can shove off whenever you say. Thanks.
How'd you make this?
2 to a cup. What's the matter with it?
Nothing, dear. It's very good.
Tastes all right to me.
Well, thanks.
What do you say? Shove off?
Yeah, I guess so.
You take it easy, Liz. I'll get the lines.
Gonna live like a queen with 2 men aboard.
Come on, Mark.
Yeah.
You handle the engine okay?
No, I think so.
We'll holler when you're ready, huh?
Yeah.
Ready?
Okay.
Clear on the bow. Clear on the stern. Okay, Mark, take her away. All clear. Hey, you can really handle this thing.
Thanks.
Nice takeoff, Skipper.
Yeah.
Honestly, Mark.
Well, where to?
I don't know. Thought we'd go out to the shoals, just kind of look around.
Oh, that's no way to go treasure hunting.
No?
Look, according to my information, the last contact in 1935 was made at 7010 2050. There's been a lot of dives since then, but that was the last one that really brought anything up.
Well, let's start there.
Of course, the tides have probably moved the wreck some, but it's worth a try. Okay?
Okay.
Good. Where am I going to bunk?
Up forward in the forecastle.
I'll go store my gear.
Bring you some blankets in a minute.
I'll come up and smell you as soon as I get settled, Mark.
Really, Mark, don't you think you're being a little silly?
Am I?
I think you are.
You better go up and take care of your guest.
All right. I will.
More on that. There. I hope we find something today.
Yeah.
There. The belt too tight?
No.
Okay, Liz, start the pump. I still think I ought to go down.
Well, you've been down every day for a week.
And on your feet. You'd think we'd find something in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Pressure's up.
Nothing to it today. Not more than 100 feet of water.
Yeah, I know.
Grab the ladder. All right.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Here comes your lid. Intake.
Check.
Exhaust.
Check. Check. Yeah.
No, I think. How you doing, Mark?
Where's Liz?
Oh, she went below. Why?
Nothing.
I'll handle you.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you your 25-foot levels.
Okay.
Yeah, there's your first one.
All right.
How you feeling?
Getting cold.
You're lucky. Like an oven up here.
I know. Give me more air.
Okay. Not too much. That's 50.
Right.
How's your visibility?
Not bad.
Tell better when you get the bottom.
Yeah. More air.
Take it easy.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, but...
More air.
Okay. There's 75.
Right.
Want to rest a minute?
No. Start easing off.
Check. Down yet?
No. More air.
You're getting...
More air.
Yeah. down yet.
Nope.
You're out at 100 now.
I keep feeding.
Right.
Bottom.
Good. How's visibility?
About 50 feet.
Now how's the bottom?
Sandy. Level. Slopes off to the south. Coral reef north. Lots of vegetation.
See anything?
No. Look, keep my lines taut. I don't want to get stuck in this sand.
Right. How's it feel?
Well, it seems firm.
I never can tell.
No. You got my lines up?
Yeah.
I'm moving out.
Take it easy. How you doing?
Okay. Wait.
What's the matter? You all right?
Shark. He didn't see me.
You want to come up?
No, he's gone.
I remember once off Florida.
Now keep my lines up.
Yeah.
It's tough going.
See anything yet?
No. As soon as I get out around this reef.
Take it easy. Only been down 10 minutes.
I want to get a look down the slope.
Watch your ear.
Yeah. A couple of feet more. Paulson.
Yeah?
Something up ahead.
What?
I can't tell yet.
Look like a ship?
It might be.
Come on up.
What?
We'll both go down this afternoon.
You crazy?
Come on.
No.
Okay.
I'm getting closer.
See it yet? You see it?
Yeah. It's a ship, all right.
What kind?
Can't tell. Topside's all gone. Hull's half buried.
Get closer.
Yeah. The high quarter deck.
That's it.
Must be.
What's the matter?
Air.
What?
I'm losing air.
Harry, the pump stop.
What?
Give me air. Paulson.
Pump stop.
Must be on gas, huh?
Give me air.
Hurry.
Yeah.
Air.
Hang on, Mark. Hurry.
Air.
Mark. Mark.
Excitement and danger when a man is trapped in the treacherous depths of the sea and his thin lifeline in the hands of a stranger. But excitement and danger are nothing new here, for these are the keynotes of high adventure. You know, I feel a little out of breath myself, and I'd better not be, because I have a couple of important things to say. First, I want to talk to you about the well-known importance of good grooming in every man's everyday life. That's one reason why so many men make a habit of finishing every shave with Old Spice after shave lotion. Once you've tried Old Spice lotion, I'm sure it'll become a part of your daily grooming you'll never want to miss. But that's only one reason for using Old Spice lotion. Another big reason is the wonderfully cool and comfortable feeling it gives your face when you finish shaving. There are two generous sizes of this quality lotion, $1 and $1.75. Look for the handsome red Old Spice cartons at drug and department stores everywhere. And remember, Father's Day is June 18th. To give Dad that top-of-the-world feeling on Father's Day, give him Old Spice. Everything Dad can want for real shaving comfort and pleasure. Old Spice aftershave lotion, shaving creams, talcum, cologne, and soap in handsome sets priced from $1.50 to $6. Now, back to deep water, the high adventure story of a man who found a treasure ship in danger waiting on the bottom of the ocean, and told here by that man, Mark Johnson.
They got the air down to me in time and brought me to the surface. Liz said if Harry hadn't acted as fast as he did, the accident might have been more serious. But was it an accident? I didn't know. Liz had checked that pump before I went down. If it had been empty, surely she'd have noticed it. But she didn't say anything more about it, and I wasn't going to bring the subject up. I couldn't afford to be wrong. Liz suggested that we head back to port and have a doctor check me over. I told her I'd be all right, but she wouldn't listen. It took us 2 days to get back to Puerto Plata, and they made me stay in my bunk the whole time. By the time we made port, I was feeling fine, but Liz insisted that I stay on board while she went for the doctor. A half hour after she left, Paulson said he wanted to take a look at his boat and left me alone. I waited for an hour, then I got restless and headed up to Joe's.
Senor Johnson.
Hello, Jose.
Jose?
Oh.
You do not want to joke, eh? You are tired, see?
Oh, I'm okay.
Senor Paulson said you are sick.
No, I'm okay.
You want a drink, see?
Yeah, give me a whiskey.
Okay.
You see, Paulson?
See?
How long ago?
Maybe half hour. He talked to the boss.
Huh?
He talked to the boss.
What boss?
Whiskey, senor.
What boss, Jose?
What one of the boat?
What boat?
Chris
Craft?
Si.
You mean that's not Paulson's boat?
No, senor. You do not drink?
Oh, yeah.
Senora's medicamente, she's ready.
What?
Senora's medicamente.
Liz didn't order any medicine?
Si, Senor Paulson, he came this morning and wanted medicamente for Senora.
Must be a mistake.
No, not mistake. He said, Senora, come later.
Let me see it.
It's all wrapped.
Let me see it.
Okay. It's all wrapped.
Must be a mistake.
No. Medicamente, si. And Senor, the wrapping.
Veronol, 10% barbituric acid. This is poison.
Si.
Why?
Maybe.
Listen, Joe. I think this is a mistake. Liz doesn't want this stuff, but I gotta know.
No, he's not.
I want you to wrap this up again, you understand?
Si.
Don't say anything to Liz when she comes in.
Si.
Now hurry up. I'll prove it was a mistake.
You see, Jose is not wrong.
You all right, Mark?
Yeah, I'm okay.
When you weren't at the boat, we thought you might have gotten sick.
I just got restless.
Well, the doctor's down at the dock.
What took you so long?
Well, he was out on a call when I got there.
Uh-huh.
That's right. I ran into Liz outside his office.
I believe you.
Come on, Mark. I don't like to keep him waiting.
Sure. You want to pick up anything while we're here?
Can't think of anything, can you?
Nope. See you, Joe. I sure like that sled of yours, Paulson.
Oh, thanks.
Maybe we can take a spin in her before we shove off.
Yeah, maybe.
Say she's good for about the... What's the matter?
You two go ahead.
Huh?
Just remembered I want to get some eggs at Joe's. I'll catch up to you.
Everything fell into place, but none of it made any sense unless they'd known each other before. It didn't seem possible that Liz could... Yet they say under the right circumstances, anybody is capable of murder. I had to be sure. I had to be. The doc checked me over and said I was in perfect shape. Paulson was anxious to get back to the wreck, so we shoved off that afternoon. That night, I got out of my bunk while Liz was asleep, found the poison in her locker, and threw it overboard. When I got back in the bunk, I lay there listening to the water slapping against the hull, thinking it all over. I decided there was only one thing to do. First dive I made, I'd pretend I was in trouble and call topside for help. If Liz came down, I'd know I was wrong. If she didn't, it'd be too late to do anything about it anyway. When we got out to the wreck, Paulson suggested I make the first dive. Liz was handling my lines, and I knew it wouldn't be long.
That's 75, Mark.
Right.
How do you feel?
I'm okay.
Don't rush.
Start slacking off.
Right.
Hold it.
What's the matter?
Coming down alongside the wreck. Move me over about 30 feet.
Which way?
South.
Right.
A little more.
Right.
That's got it. Now, lower away.
Uh-huh. Down yet?
Nope. I'm aboard.
Where'd you land?
Right amidships. I'm working my way aft.
Watch your lines.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm getting there. There's a hatch here. It's jammed. There, I got it.
Take it easy.
I'm going in. Now.
What, Mark?
The line's fouled.
What?
Line's fouled in the rigging.
Can you work them loose?
No. No. Help me, Liz.
Harry, Mark's in trouble.
Help me.
You gotta go down.
Liz.
I'm gonna leave your phone for a minute, Mark. Hang on.
Yeah. That's that.
Harry's on his way.
Yeah.
I'm going to switch you over to his phone, Mark.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
I'm coming down your lines. Hang on.
Yeah.
It won't take me a minute.
I know.
I got 50 feet already.
That's 75, Harry.
Right. More here, Liz.
Hurry.
Start slacking off.
Right.
I'm over the wreck, Mark.
Yeah.
Bottom. Where are you?
Aft.
Check.
Find him.
I see him.
Over here, Paulson.
Let me help you, Mark.
Hmm?
Is he all right?
Let me...
No, no.
I'll just...
No, you don't.
Fix you.
Let go of my line.
What?
I'll get him free.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Let go of my line. That's better. Now, Paulson.
Mark.
I can't get up.
See how you like it.
Get away.
What's the matter?
Let go of my lines.
Fun, huh?
Hair. Please. Hair.
Stop it.
How's it feel?
Stop it.
Don't. Hair.
Mark.
When I signal, bring us up. Help me with this lid.
Yes.
There.
Will it be all right?
He'll be okay.
What happened?
Maybe your guest will tell you. Come on, Paulson. Snap out of it.
My wreck. Mine.
What?
You can't have my wreck.
Nobody wants it.
What's he saying?
Open your eyes. That's better. Now look at me. Why did you do it?
It's my wreck. I found it 2 years ago. No more money.
He had a boat.
It wasn't his. Well, go on.
Had to use your gear. Then when we found the wreck, it tried to kill you.
What do you mean?
Turned off the pump.
It wasn't out of gas.
No. Just turned it off. But she came out.
Yeah. What about the poison?
She made me promise not to tell.
Paulson. Not to tell what, Liz?
He saw me go into the doctor's.
Doctors?
Remember the time I blew up?
Yeah.
I didn't feel well after that. As soon as we got back to port, I went to the doctor. Said I'd strained my heart badly.
Heart?
Yeah. That's why I wanted someone else along, so if anything happened to you... He said I couldn't dive again.
That's why you went off by yourself?
Yes.
The medicine was for you.
A sedative. Harry knew about it. He must have been afraid to have it on board. First night out, he stole it.
Yeah. Why didn't you tell me?
I couldn't. I knew how much you love excitement and fun, and I didn't want to spoil it.
Honey.
Said I had to be very careful. I might last 50 years or 5 minutes. That's not fun. I wanted so much.
Let's get this scow back to port.
No more diving for treasure?
Oh, there's nothing down there worth having. It's all up here, honey.
Is it?
Come on. We got about 50 years of rocking to do.
Deep Water, a story of one thrilling moment in a man's life that can only be called high adventure. As Mark Johnson, you heard John Larkin, with Connie Lemke, Maurice Tarplin, and Ross Martin. The High Adventure Orchestra was conducted by Lou Davies. Until next week, when you can again hear High Adventure as part of the new hour and a half of Mystery and Adventure on NBC, this is George Hogan saying, wherever you are, those around you live it. And perhaps you yourself will meet it someday. We call it High Adventure. Now, here's special news. Introducing new Schulten shampoo in the unbreakable plastic bottle. New Schulten shampoo has an up-to-the-minute formula which leaves hair wonderfully clean, dandruff-free, easy to manage. And ladies, new Schulten shampoo actually gives your hair beautiful additional luster. And here's a real shampoo first. Schulten shampoo leaves hair pleasantly scented with Old Spice. New Schulten shampoo in the unbreakable bottle bears the Good Housekeeping Guarantee seal. On sale now at drug and department stores everywhere.
Stay tuned for the third big mystery, The Big Guy, on NBC.
The following is transcribed from an earlier network broadcast.
The American Broadcasting Company presents I Love Adventure. Incident number 9, The Girl in the Street, a new Carlton E. Morse production featuring Jack, Doc, and Reggie.
Just to keep the record straight, I'm Jack Packard. The red-headed Texan seated there with his feet on the desk is Doc Long. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the A1 Detective Agency, just off Hollywood Boulevard and one flight up. Reggie York is down at the federal building getting some information on a recent smuggling activity on the Mexican border. And Mary Kay Jones, the cutest secretary in Hollywood, is with him to take down the data. That leaves Doc Long and me in the office.
I don't get it, Jack. Why you have to go sending Reggie out on cases which involves having to take along Mary Kay?
You said you didn't want that smuggling case.
Well, if I'd known it involved taking Mary Kay out for the afternoon...
Are you interested in work or in women?
Women? That's a silly question.
Yeah, I should have known better.
Ain't nothing I'm more interested in than women, and ain't never going to be nothing I'm more interested in than women. And I just wish there was more little old female women in the world for me to be interested in.
You're wasting your time in a detective office.
Oh, I am?
If you're so all-fired interested in women...
Ain't you forgetting Mary Kay Jones?
Yeah.
Mary Kay Jones. Cutest little secretary that ever crossed her knees to hold up her dictation book. Remember her, son?
Yeah. Just your size, huh?
Jack, that gal has got just about everything a man could ever hope to expect out of life. And all tied up in one bundle as neat and as trim as 40 cents. I think it's...
It was at that moment that Fred Locke entered the A1 office and started the wheels going on one of the most insane cases I ever had. It involved Mrs. John Fraser from the very beginning. Mrs. John Fraser, better known as Satin. That she wasn't killed at once is... But there was Fred Locke just entering the A1's office, and this is where it began.
I want to talk to Jack Packard.
That's me.
Privately.
This is Doc Long, one of my partners.
Alone. Private. You mind?
Well, yeah, sport. We mind a lot.
Look, you two, take a gander at this paper. Here, feast your eyes on it.
Oh.
Oh, that's it.
Excuse me for being a light. Go ahead, you two. Talk just as darn private as you want to.
Come on. Go ahead. All right, so you're a federal man. What's the pitch?
The government wants a case broken fast. It's developing right here in Los Angeles, and we've got to put a man at the head who's completely unidentified with government work.
And I'm it, huh?
Yep. You won't appear in the case much, not on the surface. But you'll be working like a two-tailed cyclone behind the scenes.
Are you in it?
I'm in it. Up to my ears.
Who else?
Satin Fraser, for one.
Who?
Satin Fraser. Mrs. John Fraser. If she comes out of this alive, she'll be the luckiest young woman ever to breathe air.
Here I am, Satin Fraser. Mrs. Johnny Fraser, standing in the evening fog on the street corner at Muir Field in Rossmore. A June evening with the sea fog hanging among the newly leafed out trees like gray smoke, and circling around the dim street lamps like moist, glistening halos. I was all alone on the corner, just standing there, so that the headlights of the occasional traffic spotlighted me with sudden brilliance. Just now, two 15 or 16-year-old bobby soxers joined me on the corner. Their white shoes and socks looked cheap and dingy under the streetlight, and their bare ankles glistened. Their white peekaboo waists give them a naughty girl and glad of it feeling. And here comes a car.
Hi, mousemate. Going our way?
Maybe. Which way you going?
You hear that, Jim? She wants to know which way we're going. Come on, climb in.
Okay. Come on, Julia. will open the door, stupid.
Here, you two girls, don't do that.
Why?
Well, do you know these boys?
What business is it of yours?
Sure, Grandma. What a big nose you got.
Well, come on, open the door.
Door don't work. Come on, Julia. I'll pull you up over. Up you go. Hey, you got a lot of girl under that kimono. All right, sweetheart, you're next.
Hey, go easy. I'm the only daughter my mother's got.
Up you come. Nothing to you but a handful of feathers. Give her the gun, Jim.
So I just stood there and watched the beginning of another sordid little tragedy of the city streets. Foolish, ignorant, tawdry little butterflies. Don't think I'm a moralist. I'm not. But as I stood there in the lights and shadows of the changing traffic, with the wet fog making my face cool and forming little beads of moisture on my eyelashes, I couldn't help thinking of my own love that glowed so warm and bright inside and contrasted so terribly with the ugly little scene I just witnessed. Uh-oh. Here's a man in uniform.
I beg your pardon.
Well?
I'm pie-eyed.
You don't need to apologize to me.
You busy this evening?
Yes.
No, that's too bad. Hey, you don't need to back up from me. I've been eating a lot of breath sweetener.
I just don't want you to fall on me.
Hey, you mind if I lean up against this electric light pole?
No.
Mm-hmm. Mind if I unbutton my blouse?
It's your blouse.
I guess I'm awfully spiffly, can't
I? I guess you are.
Mind if I go over and lay down on that lawn over there?
Not at all. I'm sure the owners are patriotic citizens and would love to have a uniform sleep on their lawn.
Well, what's the use of being sarcastic? World's full of sarcastic people. Well, what's the use of it?
Poor kid. Probably a lonesome, unhappy boy in a strange town at loose ends. On the other hand, sometimes if you give a lonesome boy a little leeway, you don't get gratitude. All you get is trouble. I was wondering just how long I was going to have to stand here at Muirfield and Rossmore waiting when it happened.
Well, well, if it isn't our little friend Saturn.
Hello, Saturn.
Here, wait a minute.
Take her other arm, Ernst. Of course you're coming with us.
Let go of my arm. What are you two trying to do?
Hang on to her neck.
You don't need to be ashamed of her, Saturn. We put on our dinner jackets just especially for you.
Maybe she wanted white tie and tails.
Where are you taking me? Who are you?
Saturn, how can you? And after all these years.
I never saw you before in my life. Don't you know this is kidnapping? Don't you know they execute people? You two men must be insane.
All right, here's the car. Slide in the front seat between us. Ernst, you drive. I want to sit with my arm around Saturn.
No, I don't want to.
Please?
You're breaking my arm. Oh, don't. I'll get in.
That's the girl. She smells nice. Ernst, why do you suppose it is that a beautiful girl always smells so much more exciting when she's in an evening gown?
Because she is more exciting.
My brother, you're so prosaic. I've always had a sneaking suspicion that before she put on her gown, she slips into some mysterious, fragrant, invisible garment that gives her special perfume.
Who are you two? How do you know my name?
Saturn Fraser? Why, we've known Saturn Fraser since she was a little girl, with skinned knees and a missing tooth right in front, and pigtails down to her waist and freckles on her nose when it wasn't sunburned.
Who are you? Who are you? Either you must be crazy or I am.
That's Ernst Gorman at the wheel?
Don't let her fool you, Nick. She knows us all right.
I never heard of Ernst Gorman in my life. Who are you?
I'm his brother, Nick.
Ernst Nick Gorman. I'll remember that.
You hear that, Ernst? She's really going to carry it off, pretending not to know us.
She knows us all right.
You're trying to drive me crazy. That's what you're trying to do. You're kidnapping me and pretending something that's not so. You're trying to make me believe something I know isn't so. Maybe you're deliberately trying to drive me crazy.
Now, why doesn't she want to know us, Ernst? We're really quite presentable. Remember how we were sought after in Buenos Aires last spring? And the girls in Mexico City were mad about us.
What's the reason?
There's got to be a reason. Why did two strange men kidnap a girl and try to drive her crazy?
I don't think she's listening to us.
She will, when we get her there.
Hurting my arm.
I'm afraid we can't trust you, Satin. Did you notice her trying to communicate with a clerk as we came through the lobby?
Yeah, I've got the key.
I'll kill you if you don't stop hurting me. Let go of my wrist.
Right down the hall here. And that wicked, wicked attempt to attract the attention of the elevator operator.
Utterly vicious. You torture animals and love it.
Watch it, Nick. You don't make her yell before we get in the apartment.
Oh, she won't yell, will you, Satin? Get the door open. Women and children first. That's it. Now you can have your wrist all to yourself.
If you haven't torn the ligaments loose.
The same little crybaby as always, huh, Satin?
Look around. Look at the apartment. Now do you know where you are?
And who Ernst and Nick Gorman are?
Of course. It's my own apartment. How did you get a key to it?
Ernst, tell her. How did you get a key to Satin's apartment?
Although she didn't know.
I don't like the way you said that.
Oh, come on, Satin. You're not going to tell me I wasn't here in this apartment last evening.
You were not.
Then where did I get this key?
I don't know.
Don't you have a convenient memory?
No.
I'm very broad-minded. You don't need to cover up with me. If you gave Ernst a key to your apartment...
What are you people trying to do to me? What is this horrible business?
Do you deny that you flew into San Francisco from Tokyo last Friday?
No.
That you left a husband in the military diplomatic service behind in Tokyo?
No.
That you came to Los Angeles on the lark on Sunday and reopened this apartment here in Beverly Hills Monday?
Yes. I did that. Did?
Give us the letter.
Letter?
The letter your husband sent home with you. The letter we are supposed to have.
Letter?
Yes, the letter. It's our letter. Your husband meant for us to have it.
No, no.
What's the idea of pretending you don't know us? Who are you saving the letter for? Who's got a better right to it than we have?
You're all mixed up. There isn't any letter. Oh, no, my wrist. Oh, please.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Well, go find out. Invite him in.
You want me?
Of course. Your friends are our friends.
Well, all right. Oh.
Well, so you are home. I heard you were back and had opened your apartment. Hey, you don't remember me, do you? I'm Fred Locke, who had the apartment just under you.
Oh. Oh, yes, Mr. Locke. Won't you come in?
Thank you. Oh, you have company. I didn't mean
quite
to...
Quite all right. The more the merrier. We were just welcoming Satin back to the United States. I'm Nick Gorman. This is my brother, Ernst.
I'm sorry. This is Mr. Locke. He has the apartment under us. My husband and I knew him quite well before we went to Tokyo.
Yeah, yes. That's been, let's see, almost 2 years ago. You know, I came up here on a goodwill mission. Knowing you were just back and alone, I had intended asking you to have dinner with me.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I mean, how thoughtful.
Satin. And after Ernst and I...
Don't let me interfere with...
Well, it's perfectly all right. Ernst and Nick just dropped in for a cocktail.
Well, then, if you gentlemen will excuse us while...
Oh, no! Please! Oh.
Well. Mr. Locke's carrying a gun.
So put him up to the chair while I lash his arms and legs.
What are you doing with him?
There you are.
What are you doing with Mr. Locke? Mr. Locke, are you hurt?
That's the $64 question. Put a gag in his mouth before I can tell her.
Oh, he's coming out of it. He knows what's happened to him.
Well, let him mumble in his handkerchief. Tie it tight.
You criminals. Humaniacal criminals.
That'll do it.
Now then, Satin, darling. I'm sure you don't want to see an innocent man murdered.
What's that in your hand?
Fancy that, Ernst. Satin never saw a gun equipped with a silencer.
Silencer?
When the gun goes off, it sounds like the pop of a champagne cork.
You couldn't kill him. Not with his hands tied behind him. Not with a gag in his mouth. here.
Are your knees wobbling? Here, you'd better sit down. Fix our cocktail, Ernst.
I could do with one myself.
Please, what's Mr. Locke to you?
Not a blessed thing. But unless you give us that letter, we're going to have to kill him to prove to you we mean business.
No, you wouldn't.
Come on, Sally. Be a good girl. Give us our letter.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know you. I don't know anything about any letter.
Easy. Easy. Well, that's it, Ernst. Give her the cocktail.
Drink this.
No.
Drink.
There. Now, you feel better.
What was in that cocktail?
You've got one more chance to save Locke here. One more chance. Where's the letter?
There isn't any letter. There isn't.
At the sound of the first champagne cork, Mr. Locke will have a hole in his stomach.
There is no letter.
At the sound of the second cork, Mr. Locke will be dead.
What did you put in my drink?
The letter. The letter.
I don't know. I don't know.
Poor Mr. Locke. Poor Satin. She's out. Get the ropes off Locke. Leave him sitting in the chair. I'll take care of the girl while she's unconscious.
I knew from the moment I began dreaming that it was all a dream. And if only I could wake up, everything would be all right. I was back in Tokyo saying goodbye to my love, to Johnny, to Captain John Fraser of the Occupational and Reconstruction Force. Johnny was sending me back to the United States in my dream, just as he actually did only a week ago. Here we are out at the Royal National Airport outside of Tokyo. There's the same giant DC-6 that brought me so swiftly, so gloriously back across the Pacific. And there's Captain Johnny holding me in his arms. Oh, Johnny. Oh, Johnny. It's only a dream. I know you're still in Tokyo, and I'm back in Beverly Hills, California. But before I wake up, before I stop dreaming, tell me about the letter. You didn't give me a letter, did you? There isn't any letter, is there? Why do they keep asking me for a letter? What letter? Johnny, what letter? What letter?
Mrs. Fraser. Mrs. Fraser, wake up.
I'm in charge of the apartments on this floor, and when I seen Mrs. Fraser's hall door standing open, naturally I looked in. When I seen the dead man...
Mrs. Fraser, wake up.
Naturally, I called the police.
Joe, take that woman out.
Now, look, I'm in charge of this floor.
Come on, sister.
And if Mrs. Fraser's got drunk and shot that man...
Joe, get her out of here. Call an ambulance. Looks like this girl's doped herself.
Come on. You mean Mrs. Fraser shot the man and then tried to commit suicide?
Mrs. Fraser. Mrs. Fraser, wake up.
What is... Oh. A policeman.
Here. Can you sit up in bed?
A policeman?
Yeah. Put this robe around you. Yeah. Yeah, wait till I fix a pillow behind you.
What's a policeman doing in my apartment?
There you are. Now lean back.
What are you doing here?
Where there's a corpse, there's usually a policeman.
Corpse? Then it wasn't a dream. They did kill Fred Locke.
They?
They shot Mr. Locke twice. They gave me poison to drink.
Your breath smells more like scotch.
That was poison, I tell you. The minute I swallowed it, the body is... Body.
If you look over the edge of the bed...
Oh, no.
How long have you had a gun with a silencer?
I haven't.
There was one in your hand when I came in.
What is it? What's happening to me?
I think you'd better tell me. Naturally, anything you say may be used against you.
But I don't know what it's all about. I only got home from Japan a few days ago.
Japan?
Yes. I was visiting my husband, Captain John Fraser. The next day after I opened my apartment here, Mr. Locke came to see me.
That's the name of the dead man?
Yes. Redlock.
Mm-hmm.
He's a member of the FBI.
What?
Yes. He said if I was patriotic and wanted to do a really important job for my country...
Hey, Joe. Joe.
Yeah?
Call the Federals. Get them up here quick.
Oh, something hot, huh?
Hurry it up. Okay, go on.
All I know is Mr. Locke said if I wanted to do the Federal Bureau a good turn, I'd put on a dinner gown and evening wraps and go to the corner of Rossmore and Muirfield Road in Hancock Park and wait.
Yeah?
Honestly...
Any particular time?
Between 9 and 10 on the evening of Wednesday, the 19th. That was last night.
That's a pretty funny story, lady.
I know it. I don't understand it. All I know is I did what Mr. Locke asked me, and I was picked up by two young men in dinner clothes.
Hmm. Two?
Brothers. Nick Gorman and Ernst Gorman. They were terrible. Look at my wrist. Black and blue. They laughed when they did that. Nick said a silencer made a gun sound like a champagne cork. He said with the sound of the first champagne cork, Mr. Locke will have a hole in his stomach. There he was, gagged, tied to a chair with a hole in his stomach.
Holy jumping catfish, girl.
With the sound of the second champagne cork, Mr. Locke would be dead. And he was.
What was the idea?
That they picked me up and brought me back here to my apartment. They had my key, and when we got inside, they said they'd not harm me if I'd give them the letter.
What letter?
I don't know. They said my husband in Tokyo gave me a letter to deliver. They said the letter belonged to them.
You denied there was a letter?
But there wasn't. There never was.
And then?
That's when they turned vicious. They laughed just the same. Anyway, Mr. Locke came to the door and pretended he was an old friend of my husband's. They jumped on him and tied him to a chair and said they'd kill him unless I gave up the letter.
And you stood by and let him?
But what could I do?
Well, if I had a letter,
but there isn't any letter. There isn't. Don't you understand? There never was.
Yeah? One of the boys in the FBI. Go ahead. I'm keeping an eye on the door till the district attorney's boys get here.
Hello, Mr. Martin. I'm Jim Peters, homicide.
Yeah, I remember you, Peters.
This is Mrs. John Fraser. There's the body. Mrs. Fraser says it's what's left of Fred Locke, who told her he was a federal.
Yes, sir. Yeah, mind if I have a look under the sheet?
No, go ahead. Anything the matter?
It must be.
Yeah?
Yeah. First place, there's nobody in the apartment named Locke. Second place, I never laid eyes on a man under this sheet before.
Well, well, Mrs. Fraser.
But he said...
Mrs. Fraser, you better climb out of bed and put on some duds.
Duds?
You don't want to go down to the station like you are, do you? You've got 5 minutes to get dressed. Don't try anything funny because every exit's guarded. You better step on it because I'm coming in 5 minutes, ready or not.
And there I was, trying to scramble into my clothes and be decent by the time the officer opened the door again. Guard a belt. Slip. Oh... the one that shows. No time to change. Shoes. Stockings last, just in case. The white waist. Brown wool skirt. I wonder if it's cold in jail. Oh, loose button. Do they let you sew buttons on
morning,
in jail?
Morning, Satin.
You. How did you get in my bedroom?
Aren't you going to say hello to Ernst, too? He's behind you.
No.
No, don't turn around. Stand just as you are.
What are you trying to do to me? The police are right outside the door. All I have to do is scream.
All you have to do is scream, and your head will be split wide open.
You wouldn't.
Want to see my little hatchet?
What did I ever do to you two? What you're doing to me? You kill a man before my eyes. You drug me and make it look like I did it.
Don't look so woebegone, Satin. All we want is the letter.
Letter.
One more screech out of you like that, and I'll do more than put my hand over your mouth. Promise not to lift your voice? Take your hand away.
Don't you understand? Please believe me. There isn't any letter. There never was a letter.
Hold her hands.
No.
Yank them behind her.
Oh, you devil.
Why, you...
I hate you.
Careful, you don't black her eyes. Might not look good on the course of a suicide.
Suicide?
We want that letter, and we want it now. Unless we get it, Satin Fraser is going to jump out of that bedroom window over there.
Jump?
Yes. It's one story down to a steep slate roof, then 9 stories to the pavement. It should be spectacular.
Now, there just aren't any men like you. There can't be.
Drop 1 story to the steep roof, a nice long roll down the slates, and then out into space.
Stop it!
Satin Fraser...
Suicide from bedroom window while police wait to take her in for questioning in murder.
No.
Where's the letter?
No. No, no.
Pick her up. I'll take her feet.
No. No, no.
Put your hand over her mouth.
That's so. There she wriggles like a wet fish.
I left the window open.
Head first or feet first?
Feet first. They always drop feet first.
No.
All right, now.
So,
when I say three, one, two, three.
No! No!
And then I was over the edge. Over the edge. But I wasn't falling. I was over the edge, but I wasn't falling. My belt had caught on something. I was hanging from the eaves. Nine stories up, and I was hanging by my belt. Nine stories up. Nine stories up! I don't know you.
You're in a private room in St. Mary's Hospital. You fainted while you were hanging up there, nine stories.
Oh.
I'm sorry. It took the combined efforts of two fire department ladder companies to get you down. Your belt caught in an iron vent pipe. You're a very lucky girl.
I don't know you.
I'm Jack Packard of the A1 Detective Agency, doing a job for the State Department. I have orders to say to you that your husband, Captain John Fraser, gave you a large bloodstone ring when you left Tokyo. I have orders to say that the stone is hollowed out and inside is a letter photographed on microfilm. Bloodstone and microfilm are the key words.
Why didn't you come sooner? Why didn't you come sooner?
Because if I'd come any sooner, we wouldn't have caught Nick and Ernst Gorman.
You caught them?
Red-handed. And the rest of the gang who are working on you.
There were others?
You didn't think those two policemen were real, did you?
Yes.
Fakes. They thought you might give the letter to the first man in police uniform you met.
But the FBI man who came in to identify Mr. Locke's body.
Another of the gang. So was a woman who said she was a housekeeper. It was all set up to make you think you were safe so you'd give up the letter.
I couldn't. Johnny said to guard it with my life.
Johnny's got a very brave young woman for a wife. If he ever does this to you again...
I don't know what's in the letter, but Johnny said we wouldn't want to live if its contents fell in wrong hands.
Johnny was right. I'm sorry I can't tell you more. You deserve to know.
I don't want to know. Why do they want to kill me? Killing me wouldn't get them the letter.
It might have prevented us from getting it. You see, there were two parts to this business. One, the delivery of the letter safely to us. Two, the capture of the Nick and Ernst Gorman gang under circumstances that would prove they were the traitors we knew them to be. That's why Fred Locke and I used you as bait.
Then Mr. Locke was a federal man.
And died.
Yes. How did Nick and Ernst know to meet me on the corner of Rossmore and Mule?
You tipped them off.
You told them I had the letter?
You were protected as long as Locke was alive, but when they put him out so ruthlessly, we did rather leave you out on a limb.
Yes, nine stories up.
I'm afraid so. The minute I learned Locke was dead, we moved in.
Here's the ring with the microfilm inside. It was on my finger all the time.
Thank you. You should be very proud.
I'm not. I'm just scared. I need Johnny.
It's a pleasure to tell you that if you can wait 3 hours, you can have Johnny.
But Johnny's in Tokyo.
Johnny was in Tokyo. Because of courage beyond the call of duty, certain people in Washington decided you needed Johnny more than the army of occupation.
Oh, I do. I do.
Yeah. The lucky dog.
You have just heard Isle of Adventure, a new Carlton E. Morse production featuring Michael Raffetto as Jack Packard and Barton Yarborough as Doc Long. Next week, incident number 10, entitled The Kwong Moon Dagger, an affair of Chicago's Chinatown. Betty Lou Gerson was Satin Fraser in tonight's show. Other players included Peggy Weber, Louis Van Ruten, Russell Thorson, Lou Krugman, Frank Richards, and Dix Davis. The Girl in the Street was written and produced by Carlton E. Morse. Organ music by Rex Corey, your announcer, Jim Butters. Now, a listening reminder. High comedy and hilarious adventure go hand in hand on the wonderful Johnny Fletcher Show, starring Bill Goodwin. So stay tuned. The Johnny Fletcher Show follows next.
This program was transcribed. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
That's the show for this week. I'll be back next Tuesday, about Between now and then, there's more old-time radio at relicradio.com. Something new every day. Best episodes from this show, all the other podcasts, links to our forum, Shoutcast stream, and everything else, Relic Radio, all at the website. The donate button there as well if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. It's how this is all made possible. Thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.